from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. It is Camp Comeback, broadcasting live at the NovaCare Complex, driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership for locations. Go to HitchRV.com. And joining us right now, as we just got a chance to watch practice, but Hugh, I mean, look, we could be real, but everyone, we're doing a show. We're peeking out from our RV, seeing some
hanging
thrills.
Out.
You know, we see some things. I thought I saw
Elliot.
We did see Elliot, and that's why we're going to bring Elliot on right now, because he's our eyes and our ears, and I think, is this two times in two shows that Elliot's quarterback stats, his charting has been referenced by callers. It's that time of the year, the Elliot Shore Parks call, and brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C, that's Color, Cut, Clarity, Carrot, and Cozy. Elliot Shore Parks with us right now for a camp report. Elliot, how you doing?
Man, I saw Hugh down there too, but if there's one takeaway from practice, it's Hugh's a popular man. Like, I see him down there. He's got people all around him. I'm trying to say hi, but, you know, I guess when you're an Eagles Hall of Famer, you're a popular guy.
I didn't see it that way. I saw you, and I just thought you were big-timing me, Elliot. I really did. I felt some kind of way. No, but I saw you working. I saw you out there working. You was charting the plays. Speaking of that, Elliot, what did two gloves look like? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm curious to see what two gloves look like today.
Yeah, so I thought Pickett today kind of – I don't want to say a nondescript practice, but I will say one takeaway is through two practices, the twos are getting less work than the ones, and that might sound like obvious, but normally in training camp, especially last year, it's pretty even on how much work the ones and the twos get. Through the first two practices, I think the ones have been out there quite a bit more than the twos, but the snaps that Pickett has been out there, he's looked good. No interceptions, no bad throws from what I've seen, mostly checking it down. I will say he doesn't run as fast as Jalen, that's for sure. There was a few plays where he took off today, and you can certainly see the difference between him and Jalen in the open field. But I would say a solid day for Kenny Pickett.
How about Jalen Hurts, Elliot? We saw yesterday a very high grade. Today it seemed like more of the same for Jalen through 2 days?
Yeah, I think the best thing I can say about Jalen is if you took away the drop passes, so Devontae had a drop yesterday, Dallas had a drop today, and I believe it was C.J. Uzomah that had the other one. You take away those three through two practices, he would have a 100% completion percentage. So he has been really good so far through 2 days. I had him down at 15 of 17 today. No touchdowns, no interceptions. But I think the word that really describes Jalen's play so far through 2 days is surgical. He is just picking the defense apart. It isn't that he's making, you know, a Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, like, wow, deep throw or squeezing it in between a really tight window to get it in there. The plays that he's making and the passes he's making, the guys are relatively wide open. And I think that's a really good sign for where Jalen is at in learning the offense, knowing where to get with the ball, knowing where to go with the ball. So not a ton of deep passes, but, you know, I don't think he has to be special this year for them to be a special offense. He has to be efficient. And so far that has turned them into a special offense 2 days into practice.
We're talking Elliot Shore Parks here as we talk through day two of Eagles training camp. All right, now, there's been a lot of conversation in the last few months about how much of this offense actually will be different. And even yesterday, Jalen, when kind of asked again about that 95% thing, or he kind of brought it up that not everyone sees it the same way. He's the quarterback, so maybe he feels a little bit differently percentage-wise than other people. Bottom line, it's different. From your vantage point, does it look a lot different? I know it's early, but do things look similar in these 7-on-7s and these drills, or do you see some differences the first 2 days?
Yeah, so from my eye, I think I noticed more motion before the snap. And it seems to be something they're emphasizing, even something small like in the running back drills, individual drills prior to the start. It's not just the running backs anymore. They have some of the receivers there practicing jet sweep handoff. So they do seem to be emphasizing more players moving before the ball. Dallas Goedert said today one thing he's noticed is that there is more motion and that, you know, he feels it's putting more stress on the defense. But in terms of what the players and the coaches think, to your point, I think it depends who you ask. And that makes sense because each position has different responsibilities. I think that with the new playbook, the truth is it is not a completely new playbook. It is not 95% new. What it is it's a combination of Sirianni and Kellen Moore's offense with, you know, Kellen Moore's part obviously being the new stuff. So definitely notice more motion. But, I mean, you still see a lot of the same things from last year.
Do you, Elliot, I'm curious. Like, I know you heard Jalen's press conference yesterday. Do you feel like with what Jalen said and what Nick said that they're in a safe enough space or they're in a good place where, you know, this team can be a legit contender this year?
Yeah, I thought that the press conferences yesterday kind of quieted the storm that has been taking place over the past few weeks since Jalen's last press conference. You know, I think they were both honest. I think Nick's answer that he kind of views this as, you know, the interactions between him and Jalen is what he'll use to judge their relationship, I think is true. Just knowing Nick for the past few years, he's very big on personal relationships, and I'm sure that how Jalen treats him one-on-one probably impacts him more than a report. So I do believe him when he says that he thinks their relationship is good. From Jalen's perspective, what he talked about was the emphasis of everyone needing to be on the same page so that they can be a special team. And, you know, it might sound like something he's just saying, but it is something he's brought up quite a bit in his time here. He brought it up last year. He talked about it the Super Bowl year. So I do believe it's something he believes. So both of them stress that they know they kind of have to be on the same page and that, they, you know, they feel they have a good relationship or a great relationship. So I'll take them for their word, but it's definitely something I think worth monitoring moving forward.
Elliot Shure-Parks with us right now with a practice report. All right, Elliot, give us a couple names, players that have stood out to you first couple days in the non-Jalen Hurts division here. Maybe some names that aren't quite as top of the roster here that just caught your attention.
Yeah.
Could be good, could be maybe they're not doing much so far that impressed you. But who's stood out so far that's caught your attention?
So there would be two names, but I would start that by saying what's been impressive about them so far is they're really spreading it around. It isn't like AJ has six catches each of the last 2 days. I mean, they're all getting a lot of work. But two names I'll give you, one on offense, one on defense. On offense, backup tight end Grant Calcaterra. I think he's having a really good offseason. I'll bunch in the OTA practices with those. And it's important because Kellen Moore likes to run a lot of two tight end offenses. If you look at his time at offensive coordinator, he runs it among the most in the league, the two tight end set, and then he throws it a lot out of the two tight end set. So having a backup tight end to Goddard is extremely important. And I think Calcaterra has had a great camp. He made an outstanding catch yesterday. Today he had another catch in 11 on 11, so he's been very impressive. On the defensive side of the ball, I don't think anybody has helped their stock on that side more than Zach Bond. Zach Bond has gotten almost all the meaningful snaps at the first-team defense. Whenever the first-team defense goes out there to start a drill, he is out there. Nakobe has gotten some snaps, but I think it's pretty clear watching this team that their plan A is Zach Bond at linebacker. Plan A is not a competition between Zach Bond and Nakobe Dean. The plan is to have Zach start. And if he doesn't play well and Nakobe plays well, they could change that up. But it's pretty clear through 2 days, Zach like has a hold on that job.
Elliot, early this morning, Vic Fangio at his press conference, and we were there down with you and all the rest of the media when he was talking. One thing that stood out to me was his response about Bryce Huff. I think Fangio is going to be interesting to observe because he seems very honest and, like, not in a negative or a positive way. He's just going to be honest. And he was asked about Bryce Huff and the ability to play more than just pass rush downs. And he said he thinks he can do it, but he basically said he can't do it today. And I thought that was interesting because the Eagles paid $17 million for a guy that Vic, at least, is kind of giving the thought out that he's more of a project, or it's like it's a work in progress. What did you make of that, and what do you think of Bryce Huff so far?
Yeah, so you can really tell why the players describe Vic as someone that just keeps it honest and does not sugarcoat things, because that certainly is how he handles his press conferences with the media. I thought that his answer today on Bryce was extremely, extremely revealing. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically was like, yeah, he can't do it today when talking about playing against the run. And he said it's something that he knows Bryce needs to work on. Now, they signed him with the idea that he could do it. He doesn't have to do it for another month until they go to Brazil to play the Packers. But it was revealing that he feels like Bryce still has a lot of work to do there. Now, in terms of, you know, him being a project or not being worth the money, his entire, like, role on the team is to rush the passer. Like, we can talk about the importance of the run. And, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, he has to go out there, and he has to get after the quarterback. And then if he's also good against the run, then he's, like, a top-five defensive end in the league. If he can come in here, get 10.5 sacks like he did last year, win his matchups against tackles, get the quarterback out of the pocket, they will take that over someone that's great against the run. So it's important, but I don't think it's going to impact his snap count very much.
Elliot, we did see a report from you and a tweet from you about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. What did you see, and what seemed to be the latest, as we know he had a hamstring issue earlier today?
Yeah, so it was one of, if not the last, 7-on-7 rep of the day. After practice every day, they do a developmental where they get the young guy some extra work. And he was, I believe, in coverage, running along the sideline. And he went down, grabbed his hamstring, kind of sat there on the ground for a little bit, continued to grab it. The trainers came over. You know, they were working on him. The cart came over. He did get on the cart and, you know, ride it out of practice. It is worth noting that practice was over, right? So he could have just decided to take the ride into the locker room. But yeah, he definitely grabbed the back of his hamstring and as a result was carted in. So they don't practice tomorrow. They have a walkthrough. They practice again on Saturday. So that'll probably be our first look at you know, how serious it is or if he's hurt at all.
All right, the real question, we know the players get a day to recover. How about you? 2 days in, how are you holding up? I mean, you got a few weeks here of a lot of work to do. So you feeling good? Is tomorrow a day for rest? Ice up for you? Like, what's
people say gonna ice up.
Yeah, well, I need to know if you're all right. I mean, you're our guy out here. We need to know that you're making it through. Like, you know, we don't need a cart for you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I kind of think I'm crushing it. Like, I got my stats from the last 2 days. I've been to the gym in the morning both the last 2 days.
Wow.
Did you do fasted cardio, or did you eat before you worked out?
Well, I still haven't eaten today. So I did the workout in the morning, 30 minutes on the treadmill, incline on 12, so, you know, get some good cardio in there to get ready for practice. Look, if the players are going to practice for an hour and 20 minutes, which is obscenely long in today's NFL, then I got to make sure I have that extra stamina as well. So feeling good through 2 days. The training camp spreadsheet is built. I feel like it's good. I'm putting the numbers in once I get off the phone with you guys. So 2 days in, feeling good about it.
Well, we're excited to hear that. It seems like you came into camp in the best shape of your life. Elliot, we appreciate it, and we'll talk very soon. Thank you.
Yeah, sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
There he goes, Elliot Shore Parks. How about that? This guy's doing 30 minutes of cardio before
training. Yeah, fasted cardio. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
And he hasn't eaten today?
Not yet.
You guys are crazy. People that don't eat until the afternoon.
Well,
I don't even understand.
Joe, you weigh like 120-some pounds, and you eat throughout the whole day. You're like what my ex used to call a grazer. You like to graze.
I graze all day.
Yeah. It's like you don't really sit in. Like, you probably eat a meal, but like you
dinner,
have
I
small.
Said dinner, yeah.
Yeah, you have like a bunch of small meals during the day. Like,
where do you get the energy?
I mean, I eat. I just don't eat. Like, it's like I like to work out before I eat. I like to do the fasted cardio thing and then, you know, let your metabolism run a little bit. And then you start eating.
Except and then water rice for breakfast.
Hey, man, listen, that kind of threw me off.
Now, listen, I need you to make some calls. So you're a Hall of Famer around here, okay? Next time we're here, which I believe is the early part of, not next week, but the following week. We're here like that whole week. We need Rita's here, man.
No, listen. I hollered at Brian Papson of the Eagles. Because after I didn't see the water ice.
You've got to get something
I had
done.
To call somebody. So Brian told me, he said they had the days mixed up. He said because they were supposed to be here, but the somebody dropped the ball on the communication.
Oh, so we blame the Eagles or Reed?
Well, yeah, I'm blaming the Eagles.
Okay.
And I'm blaming Bob Lang, too, because I asked Bob to give me, like, I needed some candy or something. I needed, you know, I have to have,
that
I have
sugar,
my soda.
Yeah.
I need that soda.
Don't go blaming Bob Lang yet, because
Bob,
we still need guests for training camp.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're right. Be nice to Bob.
All right, then I'll pull that back.
Yeah,
down,
pull that back.
I was about to flame you.
Yeah, that Kyle was really thinking through that. That's right. That's a good producer.
I was about to
making
flame
sure
you.
We don't do that. Let's not burn those bridges quite yet. All right,
I didn't dump it, though, so.
215-592-9494. So a couple things stood out to me from what Elliot was saying there. One, the honesty of Vic Fangio about Bryce Huff and about what he is right now, how it's kind of a work in progress. I think it's noteworthy that the Eagles paid $51 million for a player that even the defensive coordinator is not really sure what he is yet. But the other thing, Hugh, and this is probably the most encouraging thing you could get from 2 days, how crisp he seems to think Jalen looks. I mean, Elliot said to us, and this is our guy, right? He charts all the plays, that if not for drops, Jalen Hurts would have zero incompletions through 2 days.
And that's what he needs, man. He needs to set the tone. He's the tone setter. And he did that yesterday when he had the press conference. Like I said this morning, brick by brick. Brick
keep by playing brick. Him.
That's it. You got to lay them bricks
so how
down,
many,
man.
So we have two bricks down? Is it one brick
two,
a day?
It's two bricks.
Two bricks. We're trying to build a whole building?
Yes.
Okay.
And I know that there's somebody in the car right now. They hate these metaphors and these cliches.
Well, if you're a Hurts fan, you love them.
I mean, you got to love them.
You know what we didn't get to address, and we're going to go back to the phone lines in a second here. 215-592-9494. We'll get to your phone calls on your hope or expectation of a Super Bowl season this year from the Eagles. And, of course, the Phillies. Are you worried after the way they've played the last few weeks? But, Hugh, quick, I just want to address, we had OG Wade call in a little while ago. And yeah. Merrill walked into the our RV here as we were on the phone. So you and I didn't really get to discuss what he was saying there. His thought that Sirianni should immerse himself more in the offense rather than try to be this bounce-around guy, because if Kellen Moore leaves, it would be easier for the Eagles if one day Sirianni could just go back to calling plays and understand the offense. I get what he's saying. This is a reality when you have a coach that's not the play caller. Like, it could keep changing,
I look at it like this, and you're right. And shout out to OG Ray for bringing that to our attention. But we haven't even got through this year yet.
So you're saying, like, keep your eye on the price of now.
Yes, because it's like we're worrying about, okay, well, what if he leaves? Hell, I can't worry about that. I'm worried about this season and how this season plays.
It also tells me that's what Nick's worried about. He's not worried about what I want to do with my staff next year. He's trying to make sure he's the head coach next year.
Well, it's this. To me, every year is its own thing. And every year, offenses have to evolve, and they can never stay the same. Like, you just can't. You cannot stay the same as a football player or as an offense to remain successful. You got to always have some kind of wrinkles and stuff like that.
And last year felt like they tried to run the same offense back without Spike in here to do
yes.
it.
Yeah. You need that. So when I hear, people say, well, he hasn't been the same offense. And I know that's probably uncomfortable for Jalen. But, again, I said you've thrived in every situation that you've had adverse in your life. You've thrived. So much so that you are now the $250 million man. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about this year. I'm worried about the fact that you and your head coach are on the same page right now. And at the end of the year, say if Kellen Moore does get a job, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And if that bridge takes us there after we win a Super Bowl, who cares?
Well, it's similar to the Steichen thing. Steichen left, but they got to a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and they had to deal with it last year.
It's like, who cares? To me, it's just – worrying about the wrong thing at the wrong time. I mean, but to your point, I there is some merit there for that, to worry about what's going to happen after he leaves. Okay, well, if Kellen Moore if we're riding down Broad Street and we have another Super Bowl win, does it really matter?
This is the reality of a coach that doesn't call
this
plays.
This is the NFL.
Yeah, unless you have Shanahan or McVay, like the guys that call the plays, they never have to worry about
how
that.
Many coaches has Andy Reid lost? I mean, I know this is different because he's the play caller.
He's
lost a lot of coaches.
But he's Andy.
Yeah, but the point is, he's lost a lot of coaches, and he's still been able to thrive. Even though the closest comparison to Coach Sirianni is probably coach in Pittsburgh.
Tomlin. You mean
CEO stuff and having success. Even though, like, people are complaining about the fact that they're not – the dominant Steelers teams like they were in the past.
Not, yeah.
But they're still a relevant football team.
Well, they still
team.
Made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, that's the point that I'm making. And he's had a lot of turnover.
And he's got a lot of coordinators wrong, too, on the offensive side. 215-592-949. Let's grab a phone call. And then we have some breaking news to pass along. Bruce is in New Hampshire. Hey, Bruce.
How you doing, gentlemen?
What's
good,
going on?
Bruce. We appreciate you holding, buddy. What are you thinking today?
I'm a long-suffering Philly fan. Even though I live up here in New Hampshire, and I happened to go to the Reading Phillies game yesterday when they played the Fisher Cats, the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, Double A Toronto ball club, and I was just so impressed with. I'm not an evaluator of talent, but Justin Crawford looked really good. I think he's got like 37 steals, and up in the a really decent batting average. They were really worried about him on the bases. And, I just hate to see – I know it's a win-now league. I know you've got to – and I trust Dave Dombrowski. But I'd really not like to give him up in a package to get somebody – I think we've got a center fielder. He's pretty close now. He's at double A and doing well. I know he hasn't probably been there very long, but I really think that fixes center field for a long, long time if we're able to get there. So I'd rather see them get a rental player or something.
And that might be the way they – I mean, look, I think in a perfect world, Bruce, they don't want to trade Painter. They don't want to trade Miller. They don't want to trade Crawford. Now, if they really feel they need something and they could get a star back, I think they have no choice but to trade one of them. But, yeah, Bruce, I like him too. I know some people complain he hasn't hit for power yet, but – and I'm sure you remember him, Bruce, as a baseball fan. He reminds me of his dad, Carl Crawford. I mean, his dad was not a power hitter, but his dad became a star because of his speed and his defense and his base running. He, when I watch his swing, and he's left-handed like his dad was, I see his dad when I watch him play. I know I've seen him a little bit in some of these highlights, but I see a lot of his dad in his game.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a standout yesterday. And I know the Phillies, the Redding Phillies, are not having a great year, but, boy, that's not because of him. I only went to one game, so I, you know. But
you were impressed.
Really quality to me.
You were impressed.
Yeah, I know. And he's been a top, you know, one of more of the higher rated prospects in baseball for a couple of years. So I think a lot of people believe him. Bruce, are you worried about the big league team? You worried after this little lull they've been on for the last 38 games or so?
Well, I live and die every win or loss, you know. And I was listening to the game on the way home last night, yesterday from Manchester. But I'm not yet. I have a lot of confidence in Dave Dombrowski. I think we are lucky enough. I grew up in South Jersey, so it's not like I've lived up here all my life. I think we are in good hands. Not a perfect world, but I really think he'll do us what we need to get done as you approach the trade deadline, and we're in good hands.
I agree with that.
Anybody else.
Yeah, and he's done this so many times. And, Bruce, he's done a lot of different things. Bruce, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, you know, Hugh, you go back, and I'm sure we'll do this tomorrow. Like, look at Dombrowski's history at the trade deadline. He's had some years, Hugh, where he'll go out and get, like, small pieces.
Mm-hmm. Make major moves.
But then he's had years where he's made major moves. I mean, I do trust him that he's going to do – look, he will do something. I think he'll do more than he did last year because I thought that was one of his weaker trade deadlines last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a team that has the best record in baseball. Like, this is the kind of team you go in for. And I know we just had a caller say how much he likes, you know, the Crawford kid. I like him too, but this is the time, right? Like, this is if you need something and there's a difference maker out there, I doubt Dave Dombrowski's going to let a prospect get in the way of making this team better. We shall see. 215-592-9494. All right, we have breaking
94
news?
WIP. Oh, breaking news.
Hugh's scared, Kyle.
Good.
Hopefully you're not scared by the news.
It's supposed to be jarring. Supposed to want to pay
works.
Attention to this. So
it works.
Not Eagles news, not Phillies news. We actually have Flyers news, guys.
Flyer? So, is it about the new guy that came over in his Phillies hat the other
not
day?
Not about Michkov.
Not Michkov? What is it about?
So this is actually, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, this was broken. The news was broken by Travis Sanheim, who is a Flyers player.
Yep.
But he got word directly from the man himself. So the Flyers have extended Travis Konecny 8 years, $8.75 million. People are wondering if he might be a trade chip at some point, but he's not going anywhere. He's going to be here for the long haul.
That's a lot of money. Is that not 70?
It is
about 70 million.
It's a high price for Travis Konecny, I would say. He's only like a 60, 65 point per season type of guy. 30 goals.
Is that one of the biggest
It might be one of the biggest contracts the Flyers have ever given out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
obviously the league has changed with the salary cap and over the different years. But that's just $70 million sounds to me like a lot of money considering.
Yep, that's a big extension.
Yeah. The NHL. All right. Yep. So some big news there. A team that is trying to make their way. You know, the Flyers are certainly an interesting rebuild with Jonesy there and what they've done the last couple of years, trying to make their way back to relevancy here in the next couple of years. All right. Coming back, you react to that plus the Eagles. Expectation for this season. Are you expecting a Super Bowl or hoping for one? We'll check back in with the Twitter results. I was surprised today where people were at in that. And your worry level on the Phillies. Are you worried? I'm starting to get worried about a team that has not played their best and sloppy in this road trip. The bullpen walking everybody. It's not been good. I have a level where are coming up next. Blind date with a potential trade candidate. Kyle's got a name for us. We'll tell you or not whether or not We want to trade for this player. 215-592-9494. We're live at Eagles training camp on Sports Radio 94.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, you know what time of day it is, Hugh. It's time to make a deal here. Blind date style. Kyle's going to throw at us the profile of a player that David Dabrowski could acquire between now and Tuesday at 6 p.m., and we decide if we want to make a trade. All right, Kyle, what do you got for us today?
All right, I'm curious if you might be able to guess who this is. It's not a name that I've heard actually really at all, but I'm looking at this team who has fallen, I believe it's, let's see, 4.5 games out of their division race. And they are, or no, sorry, they're 4.5 games out of the wild card and 9.5 out of the division right now. So it's not looking too good for this team. And I think they could be looking to sell. It's a 30-year-old righty reliever. He is signed until 2027, but that's when he becomes a free agent. But he has a club option for the year 2026. So an option to get out of this contract a little bit earlier. He is the primary closer for this team. 21 opportunities to get a save and has done it 19 times. So pretty good ratio there. 3.28 ERA and a 1.234 whip. Not a big strikeout guy. Only has 33 strikeouts in 35 innings pitched. But has only allowed 2 home runs in this season. Would you be interested in bringing this fella in, not as our primary closer, but maybe as one of our more high-leverage arms instead of Alvarado or Soto? He's 30. 30 years old, yep. 2 years left until he has a club option.
So you have a little bit of control.
So and what kind of track record are we talking about? Has this guy had success for a little while, or did he kind of just come out of nowhere?
Well, so, okay, I would say he's been in the majors since 2019. The lowest ERA he's ever recorded in the majors was in 2022 when he pitched to a 1.13.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then last year he was 2.58, now 3.28. But I think he's having a little bit of a better season than his ERA would indicate. He does have 19 saves and 21 opportunities. So,
I'm certainly interested. I'm trying to figure out.
You're trying to figure out who it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what team and who it is. The 9.5 out of a division, that makes me think it could be like Cincinnati or a Tampa Bay kind of team.
So he's an AL reliever.
All right, AL reliever. Yep. Well, I'm certainly interested. I wish he had more strikeouts.
I'll try to give you a hint here. We do have a history of getting good pitching from this team recently.
Well, that would make me think Tampa Bay, Alvarado and Christopher Sanchez.
You're right about the team, yeah.
All right, let me guess. They have a few relievers that are interesting. They have the Adam guy that may have come up on our show before. How about Pete Fairbanks?
You got it. It is Pete Fairbanks. Show.
I like
Pete
Fairbanks.
Look at you with a good guess.
Pete Fairbanks. He had some really good seasons. He's not quite having that dominant of a season.
No.
But again, it wouldn't be to be a closer. Yeah, I like this idea. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of arm they need. Like, this is someone that if he gets hot again or pitches well again, like, he could be the eighth inning. Like, he could pitch in the eighth inning. He's good.
Yeah, and you want somebody, I think, that's obviously controllable. And somebody that's not going to put you in a bad spot as far as your future is concerned with the prospects that you'll potentially have to give up.
Yeah, this isn't a rental either. Like, you could get him, and if you're still a team that's fighting for World Series contention next season and the year after, then, he might be a guy that can help you. He's a high-leverage arm, so.
I like it. You know, Hugh just brought up the point, and this probably wouldn't – I mean, this guy's not going to cost the top prospects. I wonder – if Dombrowski, I don't care. I mean, between now and Tuesday, I'm not giving up the top prospects for Pete Fairbanks, right? That's more for Luis Robert or Mason Miller or Garrett Crochet. But you know, we had the caller, Hugh, last segment who mentioned he watched Crawford in AA and he likes mm-hmm. him. I can't worry about the prospects. Yeah. Like, they're trying to win the World Series, right? Yeah. If you find someone that's worth giving up one of your best prospects for, I'm okay with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like you need to push the chips all the yeah. way to the middle of the table and make a decision.
Because you don't want to be halfway. Like, nah. you know, we kind of tried, but we're still preserving the future. The future's now, Kyle. I mean,
especially when you hear the frustration in Bryce's voice. He's a little frustrated right now.
Well, I get a sense the Phillies players realize this is their best shot. Not saying it has to fall apart the way that the 2011, 2012
yeah, but you,
Phillies
this
did.
This is an obstacle that you haven't crossed yet. This is a threshold that you haven't gotten past. So, yeah.
And we could see their ages. I mean, these
they're getting
guys,
a little older.
They're in their 30s now, a lot of them. And, yeah, maybe they have two more good years left, but are they going to be the best team in baseball again on July 30th in the next two or three years? But maybe not.
Let me throw this at you, because now we're only going to have this segment two more times, I believe, two or three more times before the deadline actually comes. So what about just a little one-stop shopping here in Tampa? Get this guy, give up a little bit more, and put Randy Arozarena in the package.
Oh, I love Randy
Arozarena. He's been on a tear since June and playoff
Dodgers,
performer. Hell
the
yeah.
Dodgers are interested in Arozarena.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
He's a major playoff performer. I could see Arozarena having a big postseason, too, at Citizens Bank Park, hitting the ball to left field. Yeah, I mean, there's been some stuff out there. I think Matt Gelb had a thing this morning that they have some interest in Finnegan and mm-hmm. Lane Thomas from the Nationals. So, yeah, the one-stop shop, it could work. Yeah. I mean, the Angels have Taylor Ward and Carlos Estevez, so that might be a way for Nebraska to do it, and maybe because more Powell to go of a prospect. So, yep. Pete Fairbanks, the name today, but Arozarena is a big name, too. 215-592-9494. I am not concerned about the prospect stuff. Again, yeah, it has to be worth the cost. You're not giving up a top prospect for just...
So it's not trust the prospects.
No, I'm not trusting the prospects.
Forget them prospects, kind of like what Michael Jordan said about them kids.
That's right. Just trying to
forget
win.
Forget them prospects.
I mean, here's what I don't want. I don't want us to be in the middle of October and the Phillies are blowing a series to a team that's like the 6 or 5 seed or whatever. And we're like, well, at least they held in their prospects. No one's going to care.
Yeah, that dog is not going to.
No, work. Of course not. And you mentioned earlier, Hugh, that the Twins had good pitching. They matched up well. But that's what you're going to see in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't using that. I'm just saying it was an excuse. Excuse, Joe.
I heard excuses from you.
Because when we were talking about it yesterday, I said, because that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. We were going somewhere, and you told me that the Phillies lost. And I said, well, the Minnesota Twins, like the last couple of days, the pitching has been phenomenal.
They have good
both
pitching.
Sides. They had really good pitching.
But and in I was the just postseason, like, you're going to see good pitching.
Nah, I was just pointing it out. That's all I was doing.
You know, honestly, maybe the best pitcher they threw out there is the guy that we beat up for three runs in an inning.
No, but what I'm saying is you got a lot out of the guys that it was unexpected.
Excuses.
They weren't excuses.
It was. I'm trying to win here.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
I hate watching baseball with diehard baseball fans because they pick apart everything that you say.
We care.
You care too much.
No, you know you have selective excuse making.
No, I'm not making excuses.
When I try to point out that Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis had played more snaps than they ever have, you said you didn't want to hear it.
I didn't want to hear that, man.
Wait, that's the same thing.
I didn't want to try to hear that.
See, this is a selective excuse.
It's not,
yeah, but when you get carved up by Cal Quantrill, you know.
The cow.
You know, he actually has had a pretty good year since you started.
He has, yeah.
Yeah, for the Rockies, which is hard to pitch in first field. You may have been onto something when he might be decent.
No. You know what the funny thing is when I say something like that, it just Kyle just gets thoroughly irritated.
Like, what? What did he just say?
You see my brow furrow back here, and I'm all like
what is he talking about? Like, shut up!
Well, I think you
stop
feels
talking baseball.
You can take liberties when we're not in the studio because Kyle can't yell at you as much when he can't see you.
Yeah, I just start pacing back and forth back here.
I'm not surprised. All right, let's go look at our poll question. Back to the phone lines. Which better describes your feelings on the Eagles this season, expect or hope for the Super Bowl? 70% voted hope today. I'm a little surprised by that. And not that hope is not optimistic, but it's not as optimistic as expect. And are you officially worried about the Phillies? Kyle, what do you make of this poll? 58% no. But 42%, yes. I actually thought Les would admit to some worry here, even though they haven't played well lately, because they still have the best record in baseball. Yeah, 42% have some worry.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on which way you're interpreting the worry. Like, are you worried about the team winning the division? No, I don't think anyone is or should be. And I think really what it comes down to is, like, are you starting to be shaken in the confidence that this is the best team in baseball, like, separate from the pack? And is this team, like, you know, one of the true World Series contenders? Like, 18-18 since the London series is tough. And I think clearly the flaws in this team are standing out. So I just think maybe some people are coming at it from a little bit of a different way. But it is interesting. I mean, that's close to 50-50. This is the first, like, real low point, I think, that we've had. We've had rough stretches, but, like, at this point we're like, they look bad.
By the way, speaking of, and I'm not worried about the division, Hugh, by the end of tomorrow, the Braves may not be the team that's in second place in this division. The Mets have been the Mets have the best record in baseball since the beginning of June.
That's crazy.
That London series actually was kind of a line of demarcation because the Phillies have been kind of mediocre since then, and the Mets have been red hot. The Mets play the Braves this weekend. They could overtake the Braves for second place.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy how they've come out of nowhere. So ever since you're talking about that London trip, because they were leaking oil early in the season.
They looked terrible, yeah. The Phillies beat them up a lot, and they caught them at a good time. So it's kind of ironic that we have all those discussions. Is the NL East over? Well, the team that we were really, like, debating was the Braves, so we were afraid they're going to catch up. They might be in third place by tomorrow night, as the Mets are just a game and a half behind them. 215-592-9494. Silverback in Germantown. What's up, Silverback?
Hey, what's going on with y'all today?
What's up, buddy?
Man?
How are you?
All right, yeah, so I'm expecting a Super Bowl appearance, definitely an NFC championship appearance.
So that's the line for you. Like, that's where it starts. Like, at least the NFC title game appearance.
Well, no, at least the Super Bowl.
At least the Super Bowl. That's a lot. That's a big expectation, Silverback.
Bye.
Well, only two teams get there. It's hard to get to the Super Bowl.
Not a big expectation. You know, if that's what you expect, win the Super Bowl or at least get there, that's what you want.
Expecting and wanting are different things. But all right, you expect so you don't worry at all about the offensive line losing Kelce, losing Fletcher, all that kind of stuff.
We didn't lose. They've been replaced. The replacements are inserted in right now. So you have Juergens and you have Carter to replace Cox. So. I'm not concerned about that, no.
Well, you're right. They do have the replacements, and they plan for it. At Silverback, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, Hugh, they are replaced, right? But we don't know if the replacements are as good as the original. I mean, that's just saying, like, yeah, of course they have a new center now. Someone's going to have to snap the football, but I have no idea if Cam Juergens could play to close to the level of Jason Kelce. I think Jalen Carter can be a tremendous player. We saw enough last year, I could say that.
Yeah.
But In the playoff game, their best defensive lineman was still Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, and part of the reason why I kind of poo-pooed the thing, I mean, they're rookies. Jordan Davis is not a rookie.
This is year three now. Yeah,
he shouldn't have gotten – that should not have been an excuse for him to be tired. But I think that they have enough, and they're going to put guys in position to be successful. Somewhere along the line, there was a disconnect with this defense and the defensive coordinator at the time, both of them, if you want to put it out there like that. But – You have to know that this is a big year. Jalen Carter, for him, this is a year where, you know, people talked about how he petered out towards the end. They're going to be expecting big things from you because you did flash. You did show signs of being a very, very formidable defensive lineman. You have to show and prove. Nolan Smith is another guy. You talk about how he, you know, he put on a little bit more size. Totally skipped leg day, but that's okay. He doesn't have to do leg day. But he's going to be expected to contribute with this team. So I think it's going to be, when you talk about the success of this team, I think it's going to come from the collective of guys, not just really one individual like it was with Fletcher Cox.
I'm going to ask you a question I don't know the answer to, and I think it's actually a hard question. It's much easier on one side of the football. Hugh, if I say, because we're talking about, you know, Fletcher not being here, we're talking about Jalen, Jordan, right? Hugh, who are the two best Eagles defensive players on this team?
In my opinion...
Yeah, right now.
I'm just keep it to the D-line.
No, the whole defense.
The whole defense.
Who are their two best players?
I would probably have to say Jalen Carter's one.
I would put him in as one as well. Who's the second?
I'm going to say with the money they gave him, Bryce Huff.
So I think that's a reasonable thought. But today we had the defensive coordinator, so I don't even know if he's an every down player yet.
Well, I think, as you should, the way he said it, I think you're reading into it, but you should, because – it wasn't a glowing endorsement.
It wasn't like, no, he's, I know he could do it. I hope.
But from my perspective, it took me back to my rookie year.
and how, you know, there were questions about whether or not I could be an every down player, you know, because I basically stood up. I was a linebacker in a defense where I played up. I didn't put my hand in the dirt. So for me, that was a huge transition. So I understood what he was saying, but like I said, Joe, you are correct to read it the way that you're reading it, because there are different nuances that you have to learn when you're an every down player as opposed to going in there on third down and just cutting loose.
Yeah, I go back to 2 years ago. They were in the Super Bowl. And if we had gone back to that, you're like, who are their best defense players? They had Javon Hargrave. They had Hassan Reddick, who almost won Defensive Player of the Year. They had Slay, who was younger.
Yeah.
They had Bradbury, who made an all-pro team. They had a lot of guys. And I think it's hard to – I would probably say Slay, Carter, and Slay are their two best defensive players right now. But like, it's that second one. Kyle, who would you say? They're two best defensive players heading into the season. See that noise right there? That's why I'm in the hope category, not the expect a Super Bowl appearance. Well, I know you're going to say defense doesn't matter.
I wasn't going to say that, but I'm thinking it has to be Bryce. Bryce flashed. Like, I know what everybody else is saying.
They paid him like he is.
Yeah, but he flashed last year. He was flashing with the Jets.
So in your mind, the two best defense players, one petered out at the end of last season, and one the defensive coordinator today said he doesn't know if he's every down player.
I don't need you to talk about it like that. Why you gotta talk about it like that?
I'm just wondering. Kyle, what do you think?
I think Hugh's kind of on it. Well, Jalen Carter, just because I believe he's going to take the next step.
And I do, too.
I think defenders in the NFL.
Yeah, he's one we all should probably put in.
I mean, at least without knowing what Bryce Huff is, you could maybe say Josh Sweat.
Who they may take a pay cut?
Yeah, but
are not
like,
inspiring me here.
Joe, the defense leaves a lot to be desired, talent-wise. That's the reality of it. But like, Sweat's a guy that's been here, been productive. He fell off second half last season, but like, so did everybody on that defense.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't think it's totally unreasonable to expect that he has a bounce back.
Like, on offense, if I said this, we'd be fighting over like, well, it's Jalen, well, it's Saquon, well, it's AJ, well, it's Devontae, well, it's Lane. They
yeah, now
so
we ain't
many.
Fighting.
On defense,
now you're bringing way too much reality to the conversation.
We're trying to find.
I know
names.
He petered out at the end of the year, but he flashed. He did flash.
Yeah, and I think we could attribute that to the rookie wall.
Yeah, the rookie wall. He did hit the rookie
wall. I'm not worried about Jalen Carter. Now, if he does it again this year, then we
got a problem.
No, I think he'll be fine. Jordan Davis is the one. This is his make or break year. I mean, this is it for Jordan Davis. He's got to be what they drafted him to be this year, which is a really good player, first round pick. Otherwise. Hugh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his career is if he peters out again this year, Jordan Davis. He needs to be really good.
I think he will, man. And I know people are saying, why do you think that way? I just feel it because he has to know.
You're an honorary Bulldog. That's we know why
well,
you say this.
The personal attacks, Joe, have to stop. They just
you're not an honorary
stop.
Bulldog?
No.
I mean, Kyle,
no.
Is he an honorary Bulldog?
Of course he is.
Why are you asking, Kyle?
Because I need an ally in this.
No. I just feel like. The weight of the moment has to be realized. I just can't imagine you sleeping good at night knowing that number one Fletcher Cox is gone and that you fell off towards the end of the year. You know something because you lost weight. You know what I mean?
And we just seen him today. He kept it off through the summer.
You know something when you lost weight. You know that you weren't playing up to your potential because you consciously went out there and you tried to lose weight and you did. So you got to know that the weight of this moment is heavy. And you have to rise to the cage. The same thing with Jalen. Jalen went out his way yesterday, to tell us to put our minds at ease. So they, regardless of whether or not they want to admit it, they listen to what's being said. You know, you don't have your head in the ground like an ostrich. An ostrich. You don't have your head in the ground like that. It ain't in the ground. So you have to step up to the plate.
The other one, and we saw him this morning, is what they get out of Nolan Smith. I mean, that's this year, too.
He skipped leg day, though. He did. He
looked like a popsicle.
He looked.
No, listen. You ever seen, was it Johnny Bravo?
Is that his nickname now? Is
he
Nolan Johnny Smith
Bravo.
Johnny Bravo?
He's Johnny Bravo.
Doesn't have quite the same hair, but yeah.
Nah, he look like Johnny Bravo.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.